Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Last week, interesting, we had the prophecy of Isaiah with the images of impossible nature in harmony, impossible harmony in nature, the images of the cows and the bears and the lions eating hay and babies and snakes playing together. These impossible images this week now have a preface in the first reading in the prophecy of Isaiah about how the impossible is going to happen. Isaiah says, "From Jesse's roots a bud shall blossom, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide. But he shall judge the poor with justice, and decide aright for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips." Of course, God's solution to making the impossible possible is a personal one. And this is something that was so unique about Judaism, the religion of the Hebrew people. Unlike any other Middle Eastern religion in the ancient Near East or anywhere in the world, if you think about it, was there a God who was personal. Now, there were people who started religions like the Buddha. There were different swamis in India and that part of the Asian continent. There was Muhammad, the prophet. There were many different people who came and started religious things, but there was never a God who actually spoke. And not only that, when we heard his voice, we responded, and then he heard our voice and responded. It's the only religion that ever had any kind of conversation with the divine. That's where we get it from, right? Because Christianity grew out of that ancient tradition of the people of Israel. So it is a personal solution that God has decided, and it necessarily involves this Savior. And suddenly the idea of God interacting with humans is possible. According to our theology of incarnation, it's even logical. Now, there's this character of John the Baptist who's unlikely. He was the first cousin of Jesus. I wonder if they ever knew each other. It never says that they ever interacted until Jesus suddenly appears at the Jordan River. But there's a lot of scholarship being done. I don't know if you've ever been to the Dead Sea and the ancient site of Qumran, where they've discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls in the 1940s. But it is thought today that John the Baptist, before he was called the Baptist, John was a member of a community that lived there at Qumran. They were called the Essenes. They were a people who had a prophecy that they were following that was the end of the world. And so there was a lot of this ascetical lifestyle. They prayed several times a day. They worked in community. They had a very strict observance of ritual bathing that took place before meals and before prayers. And it was in this community that John apparently lived for a while until he went off on his own into the desert, presumably because the Holy Spirit led him there. And he started to make that way of life, that ascetical way of life, something that would eventually become the understanding of our modern-day monasticism. He went into the desert and he started to preach this message about the end and about repentance. And he took the ritual bathing that they did in his community and made it kind of mainstream. And it became what the reading today refers to as his baptism. That's why he references the end times and trees that don't bear fruit being cut down. Baptism as a way of winnowing the harvest rather than growing it, keeping the wheat and destroying the chaff. He senses the urgency of the next step to come. He knows it's coming. He knows that the Savior is coming, but I don't think he knows what that looks like. And then suddenly Jesus appears. He is the stranger who is identified by this stranger in the desert, who is identified as the one who will come and recreate creation. So now we know what's going to happen, and now we know who's going to do it, but we don't know how. And I think that's the question all of us still live in today. How is this going to take place? And I would have to say to you, I don't know. Who knows? It's not up to us to make this happen. It's up to God. We know it's his plan. We know his plans are not frustrated. So we know that God is at work, and we have to live in this time of waiting, a time of trust. As you'll see later, also, it's a time of endurance and encouragement. When I'm asked about how, because I'm the director for ecumenical affairs for the diocese and the president of the National Association, when I'm asked how it is that this is going to happen, even when it seems like our Christian churches are diverging more than they are converging, I always simply say, I don't know. We know that it was Jesus' prayer the night before he died that all of us be one, as he and the Father are one, so that the world might believe that the Father sent him. How that's going to happen, I don't know. So in the meantime, our job with our brothers and sisters of other Christian churches, our job is to build relationships so that we can hold the door open, so that whenever the Holy Spirit comes, he can enter in to our midst and do what he needs to do to make it happen. I think this is the same way that this is a great spirituality for us to approach the season of Advent. What are we doing during this time to prepare ourselves and the relationships in our lives so that the door can be open for God to come in, enter into our lives, and bring about the change that needs to take place for us and for our world? Because the prophecy ends with such one of my favorite images in all of Scripture. He says, "There shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as water covers the sea." That's a lot of knowledge, isn't it? Knowledge of the Lord. If only that were true today. And therefore, St. Paul talks about these prophecies to the Romans, and he says, "Whatever was written previously was written for our instruction, that by endurance and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Hope is the virtue of Advent, not penitence. It's hope. And then he says, may the God of endurance and encouragement, that's a title of God I've never seen anywhere else, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another. The entire enterprise is not left up to us, is it? It's in God's hands. And yet, we end in this spirit of hopefulness as we wait during this season of Advent for the fulfillment of all things, because God is the one who will make it happen.